The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. What a pleasure to be back with you. It feels like it's been forever. I have been gone for two Sundays, not that long. The first one, 2 weeks ago, we were with my son Bob out at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo and getting him moved into his dorm room, which is really cool. The campus is amazing. The people there are great. We had a terrific time. There is a beautiful church in San Luis Obispo. Many of you may have been to it. It's called St. Stephen's. It's a beautiful structure. I've had communication with the rector there. Great guy. Plans definitely to go to church, except, well, we also wanted to go to the Madonna Inn for breakfast, and so we did. The following Sunday, after we got back, had a few days in the office, got a few things knocked out, went back to see my mom. I have not been for years back to Shreveport, where I grew up, and my mom would be the first to nod and agree with that yes, it's been too long. So I went out there. I flew out to Dallas, did a little work in the Texas area, genealogical research. I've got, you may know I'm a genealogy nerd, and I've been following my family backwards in time, but I've hit some snags around the Dallas area. So I went and looked at cemeteries, took pictures, learned all kinds of things I didn't know, and it was really amazing. Came back. Spent time with my mom, went to the Shreveport Symphony, drove down to Louisiana, met my cousin, whose name is, wait for it, Lane Hensley. I have a cousin, Lane Hensley, great guy. We grew up, a few hours from each other, 3 years apart, never met each other until now. And so we sat down, compared notes on how's your life going, all that. His dad and my dad were first cousins, knew each other really well. That was amazing. And on the way back up from Lafayette, coming up I-49, a road, it's been so long since I've been there, I-49 did not exist the last time I drove down to Lafayette. I'm driving back up and my mind is full of all the things that I've seen and the conversations I've had and the kind of freshness of the place. And I heard the little bell in the rental car and looked down, and there's the orange light next to the gas tank. And I knew that it was time to get some gas. I'll just wait for the next exit. And then I started thinking about other things. And you know where this is going, right? the next time I thought about it was when I'm driving along thinking, you know, I'm really making good time. And all of a sudden, the engine just stopped. And I'm coasting, and I thought, okay, I deserve that. And the car coasts to a halt, and I pulled over on the side of the road to a good, safe place. And I thought, I bet I can make that exit. It's just right. I can see it. The exit is right in front of me. Nope. I stopped just maybe a couple hundred yards away from the exit, just too far for me to do anything about it except call for help and feel like a total fool because of being so stupid. I mean, I should have seen this coming, but I didn't. Well, I did, you know, and then I started thinking about other stuff. And I had just not quite enough gas to finish the job. And it was frustrating. You know, I thought if I had just a little more, I'd be fine. I could just make it up. There's a gas station right up there. I could get to that exit if I just had a little bit more. I felt the same way about the trip itself because I deliberately scheduled it. I would rather have, you know, a day too few than a day too many. You know what I mean? When you visit relatives, how that is. And yet, I left there thinking it was just not quite enough. I came back, really enjoyed the time that I was away, really enjoyed the refreshment, but it felt like not quite enough time to get really refreshed the way that I wanted. I think that in our lives, we often have the feeling that whatever it is that we perceive we need to do the things we think we ought to do, we have just not quite enough to do that. And maybe we're talking about money. I mean, that's the most obvious thing. I certainly know that during this season, most of my colleagues are in, this is high season for stewardship in most congregations. We don't do stewardship campaigns in October because so many of us are still away in other places, but for a lot of people, they would be making that point right now and saying that when it's pledge time and we're thinking about proportional giving and tithing and all of that, we look at what we have and perceive that, oh, we'd like to do this, but we have it's just not enough. You know, I don't know how the market is doing. I don't know. I have just not quite enough. More likely, though, it's things like time. It might be time, or it might be our knowledge. Maybe it's our expertise, our confidence, maybe our boldness. Whatever it is, there's what we know we ought to do because the gospel puts some demands on us. The gospel is Jesus asks for it all. You'll never hear Jesus say, yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're doing great. He'll say you're doing great. But he won't say, stop trying. He'll never say, stop trying. He's okay if you fail. He never berates people for failing, but he berates people all the time for not trying. Remember the parable of the talents, right? The person who had one talent gets praised just as much and rewarded just as much for a smaller return for the one talent. Then he gives to the guy who had a lot of talents. The only one he's upset with is the guy who just would not invest his talent. So Jesus is expecting so much from us. And we as Christians who want to live this life in Christ, who know that God expects so much from us, that God expects us really to change the world. Good for you. You came to church on Sunday morning. Good for you. I'm not making fun of you because there are a lot of people who didn't. But if we imagined that this was all God wanted, this is it? Really? You think this is doing God a big favor? God is expecting us to go out into the world to change the world. God is expecting us to be agents of love and generosity and grace and transformation. God wants it all. And yet we always seem to think we don't have enough time, resource, training, information. We just don't have enough. Now, when Cherry started reading the gospel this morning, it may have seemed a little bit abrupt because that's the hazard of having these gospel lessons that come in little chunks like this, is you don't hear what came right before. Okay, so Cherry begins reading the gospel, and it says, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's words to the effect of, the apostle said to Jesus, increase our faith. Well, why would you start a conversation that way? Well, they didn't. This is in response to all of the things that Jesus has been saying to them. Jesus has been laying on them the extraordinary cost of discipleship. Jesus is explaining the enormous amount of effort and work, of output, of engagement, of pouring our entire beings and our entire hearts into what is needed to transform the world, to be disciples, that we're to be agents of radical hospitality, welcoming and helping strangers, that we're to be out there seeking lost sheep, which I've never sought a lost sheep, but I can't imagine how difficult it is to find a lost sheep. But we're expected to do that with God's people, visiting prisoners, searching for lost coins and forgiving prodigal sons. We're supposed to hear the story of the rich man and Lazarus and understand that the gifts that we have are not just for our own consumption, but rather that they're supposed to be shared with other people, that we're supposed to have mercy and compassion and give and give and give and give. Is it enough? It is never enough. What would enough mean? As the gospel says, we could give everything we have and do everything that we're commanded to do, and we would just be even. The expectations are so high. It's in that context, then, that the disciples go to Jesus and say, Lord, increase our faith. Because for us, a lot of times, you know, we believe that if we just believed more, if we understood more, if we were more confident, we could achieve more. We'd be willing to apply ourselves more. But, you know, I have doubts. I'm not the Nicene Creed, honestly. I don't get half that. Do you? I'm supposed to understand all of it. I'm supposed to know everything. I'm supposed to be faithful all the time, increase my faith so that I can accomplish these things that God has given me to do. That's what they're asking about. And Jesus is saying, not that your mustard seed faith is an object of ridicule. Jesus is not teasing or taunting the disciples and saying, you and your pathetic little faith. Jesus is saying, what do you think you need? Whatever it is that got you here today, whatever made you get out of bed and show up in this room, that's enough. That's enough. That capacity to hear and obey the command of our Lord, to gather for worship today, that's enough. That's a mustard seed faith. But there's more. You know you have more. I know I have more. We actually have a lot more gifts than we imagine we have. But even if we just had that mustard seed, the prayer book and our catechism tells us about the work that God gives us to do. And it says, according to the gifts already given us, I'm inserting the word already, but according to the gifts already given us, carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world. Using the gifts you already have, without some special training, without a program and understanding, you know, well, who's gonna put the notice in the bulletin? Using the gifts we already have, we're to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, with the gifts you already have, you will do works greater than these, greater than all the works that people were amazed to see Jesus do. The transformative power of Jesus is nothing compared to what we can do with the gifts we already had and that we have now, and we're not the Son of God. That's what he's saying. Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians that each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by all ways, here it is, having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. We have enough. If you're like me, you worry about the church. You worry about the church as a whole. You worry about this church. I'm not sure we have enough. There are so many things that need to happen. I don't have enough staff. I don't have enough resource. I don't have enough space. It's not configured correctly. We don't do enough publicity. There's enough, all these things we don't have enough of. It's important to us because we know that Jesus expects so much from us. And we know, and the reason we're so prone to make excuses of not having enough, is because we know that we haven't done enough. And we're right, we haven't. We are called, as we've said before, to go out into the world, to build the body here, equip the saints, and change the world. We have not done enough, but it's not because we don't have enough. We have enough to accomplish God's purpose for us. Kirk Allen Kubicek writes, "Trust what you have been given. Trust what you have to give. It is more than enough. You can uproot trees, you can move mountains, the lame will walk, the blind will see, loaves multiply so that there's enough to feed everyone. As you sow, you will receive. As you follow Christ, you will begin to lead. If you have only faith as small as a mustard seed, the reign of God is at hand. We can reach out and touch it, feel its nearness, participate in its fullness, if only we have the tiniest bit of faith. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.